GreatMusicZ103.com. Monty the Music Man Seaburn's Friday morning at the start of the 8 o'clock hour. Do you know what it means? It means Mark Wickersham is in the house. Good morning.
Good morning. I guess over the last couple of weeks, we've been experiencing some thunderstorms that have been pretty impressive. So today's commentary is about electrical capacity.
All right.
I mean, we've seen it in action, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Now, by the way, on a sidebar, hey, we owe a great deal of thanks to the various power companies in our region for maintaining electricity as well as they did in the face of all those storms in late March, early April. I think they did a great job helping us get through. Then how's it? Something goes in like a lion and out like a lamb, or what is that?
I think that's March. Isn't
March
it? I think it went out like a lion.
It sure went out roaring, that's for sure.
Yes.
So thank you to the power companies for keeping our lights on the best way you could. And I've spoken before about the fact, and our last show was about water capacity.
Yes.
Well, we kind of have the same similar thing with electrical capacity. It's absolutely critical for a community to have an adequate electrical supply that supports consumer demand. And as you know, consumer demand constantly is on the increase, regardless of whether it's the electronic devices we use in our homes or the electrical demand at our industries, or the EV market is an entirely different discussion, but demand loads continue to increase on the power grid and power providers. And so we thought it would be, the agency thought it would be vital for us to try to figure out and have a report that presents a pretty good understanding of the basic infrastructure that we rely on in Huntington County. Plus also just generally want to be in a better position to manage industrial development leads that companies have requests for power, want to know how much electricity we have available. So Huntington County Economic Development Corporation hired BCS Management Consultant Group out of Fort Wayne to do a study for us, and they recently completed that and presented it to us. So I wanted to take a few minutes to share some of their findings and talk about that report. First of all, the contents of the report, I mean, we go through a series of definitions, key terms, electrical and other electric flow concept, production and flow concepts. In the report, we talk about the grid itself and what that really means and what it is. What's the difference between a power generating company and a power transmission company? What are substations all about? How do we get the electricity in the first place in terms of generation and consumption? Do we know anything about the economics? What can we learn from what's going on around us? Then there are discussions about what are known in the industrial development world as industrial demand response and capacity contracts and reserve capacity contracts. So to start with, I mean, again, the document and the research was intended to provide our organization with a concise and comprehensive understanding of all these things, and we, again, cover the key aspects of generation, transmission, substations, energy sources, and energy economics. Now, one of the things that I know we get confused about, and it's like, I'm not sure why we get hung up on the confusion, but we talk about the definitions of what a volt is, what a watt is, what's a kilowatt, what's a megawatt, what are kilowatt hours, what are megawatt hours, and that kind of thing. And to me, the thing that summarizes this is that one reference talks about the load. In other words, a megawatt refers to the power demand or instantaneous energy consumption, but flow is your megawatt hours, and that refers to the total amount of energy consumed. So one is, in essence, a consumption definition, and one is a generation production reference. We also talked about what is the grid, and just real in a real elementary, high-level picture, the electrical grid comprises, in Huntington County, comprises infrastructure that's associated both with transmission and distribution and generation, all three. It involves how electricity is produced from various energy sources and how you get it from a power plant, in colloquial terms, to your light switch. Power generation for the grid comes from various sources like coal, natural gas, nuclear, and green energy renewables. Nuclear and coal plants are predictable that run with steady production, while sometimes natural gas plants aren't that quick, aren't that consistent, but they quickly adjust to meet demand peaks. And wind and solar are variable sources, and so there's a lot of changes that you have to make to the system to accommodate that, depending on the capacities involved. So you have generation and transmission, and then you have substations connected to that. Huntington County's electrical grid includes 14 such substations, and our primary energy companies that we buy from as consumers in Huntington County are Duke Energy, I&M, Heartland REMC, and if you live in the town of Warren, your town has a business entity as a utility that makes electricity available to you. So rather than writing a check to Duke Energy or whoever, you're paying the town of Warren for that electricity. And then what we realized is that in terms of our county overall, we use roughly 31% of our electrical consumption is for residential, 17% is for commercial, 48% is for industrial, and the transportation sector uses about 3.5%, and then it kind of bleeds out from there. The industrial demand and capacity contract section of the report is fairly technical and in terms of legal contract language, but to summarize the idea, I mentioned just a second ago that the industries use about 48 to 49% of everything that's consumed in our county. So for an industry to be successful, they have to contract with the power companies for a particular demand load. And that demand load contract is typically for the maximum peak demand that they would need. Well, the power companies, sometimes then you get into a situation where, like with a Google project in Allen County that's a major user of electricity, do you have enough capacity in your system with your production plants and transmission lines to meet that need? So what happens when you're actually, as a company, you're contracted for more power than you're typically going to use, and then the power company itself has a demand load shortage somewhere else? How do they manage all of that? And that's the technical discussion that goes with that section of the report. At the end of the day, if there's an argument or a request for a change, those are negotiated through the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission. So where's all this headed, and what, you know, is there a point to all I'm talking about, and that kind of thing? Well, understanding the electrical infrastructure and its economics for Huntington County is absolutely crucial if we're going to make good decisions. And the report helps us have a better understanding about sustainability and the economics of all of that. But I think one of the other highlights in the report is the fact that it includes references to the 14 substations throughout the county. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that, because I don't, you wouldn't want somebody going out and walking around getting hurt or something else. So I don't want to talk about the locations, but they're reasonably close, as you might imagine, to the transmission lines that traverse Huntington County. And we're served, again, I mentioned the companies that actually provide the power that we're buying from, but the grid itself, the generation, transmission, distribution, the overall, at a big picture, the transmission system grid is managed by either PJM Corporation or MISO. In Huntington County, we're on PJM, the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maryland system. MISO is the Midwest system. So MISO and PJM connect these huge transmission lines to the power plants that are actually, you know, whether they're nuclear or gas or coal or hydro, that are generating the electricity, creating the electricity in the first place. You've got to get it like from northeast northwest Indiana, where we see a lot of power plants, southwest Indiana, same way, along the Ohio River. How do you get that electricity from point A to point B? And that's the point of the transmission system through PJM and MISO. And then the power providers in the consumer market, Duke, Heartland, INM, Warren, they are buying from either the grid directly or through brokers, and that transmission system that makes it possible for us to get electricity at our house involves the substations that are managed and produced and managed by each of those companies. So overall, what we've learned in the report is that we currently have available generation capacity around Huntington County available of about 40 megawatts. And keep in mind, megawatt capacity is not the same thing as demand load, which is measured in either megawatt hours or kilowatt hours. We have a robust electrical infrastructure and a capacity to manage routine growth and supply and demand. But whatever we have to do, it's like anything else, it's expensive to do it right. But that's the short story of what we learned.
But it is amazing, and you're right, if we want those creature comforts, those Hulus, and Netflix, it takes a lot of power to keep that stuff up and running so that everyone's devices can get to it. So, you know, that's where we have to be very, you know, do our due diligence and make sure we're going to keep up with that demand, or we could experience, I would guess, rolling blackouts or things like that if we're not careful.
Yeah, well, if we ignore it and just take it for granted, that could happen. But basically, if we're responsible in our consumption, we're not likely to see that happen much. It could, but not likely. But, you know, the biggest news for me was the cost of building a substation.
Oh, man.
You know, about 10 years ago, you could build a substation of about 20 that would have a 20 megawatt capacity. You could build that substation in about 90 to 120 days. And you would, as a power company, end up spending between $1 million and $2 million to do that. To do that in today's economy, a 20 megawatt substation requires like a footprint of about 5 acres. Mm-hmm. And that acreage is often expensive because, like it or not, they tend to have to be in prime real estate areas. It's not something you can put on subprime or marginal land. You have to basically have good soils and good locations. But today, to do the same capacity level, first of all, it takes about 3 years to get permits, and the supply chain for the equipment that's needed is, you know, about 2 years. Now, you can do this all concurrently, but the power companies are going to end up spending around $6.5 million to do what not all that long ago was between $1 and $2.5 million.
Wow.
So when you know that that's the type of cost and you're in my role as an economic developer, then if I'm recruiting a company that needs a huge electrical capacity, the math is really important because, yeah, we might theoretically be able to figure out how to generate it. We might figure out how to get it to a substation. But if the substation doesn't exist, we need to build in time and additional money to figure out how to get a project launched. And so I do know that American Electric Power told us last year, and they've not updated this, but they said if I had a project in Huntington County that required 25 megawatts or more, we should assume it's going to be 7 years before we could provide that power, which means likely that you're not going to be eligible to compete for projects of that size, which, you know, sometimes it's like, well, I don't know what that would, why we would even compete for that type of project, right? Because we are who we are, and we're not trying to get bigger just to be bigger. But you never know what's going to happen. You want to be in a position to be competitive. You want to do it right. And so you have to do some planning and some give it some thought and figure it out. And if it's a large power user, we just simply are going to need time and money to get that to happen.
Wow, very informative stuff. And again, I appreciate that.
Good to be here.
Water, electricity, and we'll get back to some electricity usage.
On the music.
That's right. It's C103.com.